psalmist David said, that I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and he said, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Lord, we just pray this morning that we bless your name this morning. We lift your name on high, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your name is above every other name, and at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Pray you'll bless your people this morning. Give you thanks now for this offering. We do thank you, Lord, again for that center cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that you are now seated at the right hand of majesty and high, and ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Lord, bless your people and meet every need we pray in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's remain standing if we can. If you're comfortable to stand, we'll sing the remainder of this hymn, and maybe just of course then before hand over to
Lord, I was taken to the cross of mighty power, and it's not to be that light of the
I'm please just bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and the Lord bless everyone this morning in the house. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of this lovely song we've been singing. We thank you for your nail-scarred hand, your nail-scarred feet, the side that was wounded for our sins, for our transgressions. Lord, you were nailed to the tree. We bless your lovely name, Lord Jesus. This morning you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, we thank you that we which were not a people can now say we are the people of God. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you that your blood is real, that your Holy Spirit's real, that your presence, your power is real, that you've never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, that you said in Revelations, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. We thank you that's your words this morning, and we believe your words, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll make us vessels of honor, rid us of the spirit of discouragement, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety. Fill us with your faith, Lord Jesus, I pray. Touch your people this morning in this house and those that's listening in by your mighty power, by your mighty spirit. Put your hand on men and women this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, do them good, encourage them. Take away depression, O God, lift depression. May we operate the gift of faith and not fear. And Lord, may we encourage your people, not discourage them. In Jesus' precious name. Father, I pray for liberty, and oh, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty in the house. And Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. For the hands raised, you know every need, every situation, every circumstance. We bring them all before your throne of grace, where we may find mercy in the time of need. And Lord, we come because we have a high priest that's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Lord Jesus, we pray you'll touch everyone with the need this morning in Jesus' precious name. Bless our brother Andrew Beach, and we thank you for your touch in his life. We thank you for your mercy upon him and your grace. Continue to touch him and heal him and make him whole and bring him amongst us again in Jesus' precious name. Lord, touch Davy McConville from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. We curse every work of the devil over him, and we bless him in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. For Brother Laurie, touch your Brother Laurie, we pray, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, have your way in all of our lives. Save the lost, heal the sick, and get yourself all the praise and all the glory. Bless the musicians, bless the song leaders, bless the deacons, the elders, every boy, every girl in this house, every man, every woman, bless and touch and minister to in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, now we pray that your word will have the preeminence amongst us. For Lord, where the word of God is, there's light, and you're that light of the world. And Lord, I pray that you'll light up this room with that light in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Have your way amongst us, Lord, and may you receive all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Shake hands, member beside you. And say, God is going to bless you.
Praise God. God's going to bless you.
Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Amen. You can shake hands with a sister as well. God will bless the sisters as well. And may the Lord grant it. Praise God. You may be seated just for a couple of announcements for a moment. Praise the Lord. We want to wish Sister Winnie happy birthday. May the Lord bless you. And Elijah, 18 years old tomorrow. God bless you, Elijah. He's looking well, isn't he? I'll tell you what, I was 18 once. It's a long time ago. Praise God. But the Lord bless you, brother. God bless you. I tell you, these lads, I tell you, they're a real inspiration to any young fella. I really believe that, and I mean it. It's powerful to be in the house of the Lord, serving the Lord. Wonderful. Praise God. And the Lord bless everyone that's here this morning. Praise God. And if anyone has to take any of the wee ones out, there's some chairs in the hallway. feel free to take them out and just be comfortable in the house of the Lord. Praise God. I messaged Brother Andrew this morning. I was thinking about him this morning. I'd messaged him last week as well. So he's hoping to get home today. Isn't that great news? So God is good. God is so good. Praise God. And we just thank the Lord for touching our brother. And we pray that God will continue to do it. Praise God. The Lord bless each one this morning. Ken Davison bought a place. I'm not going to say where because he mightn't want that known. But he had to get somewhere because there's a man around there beside that tent wanted them out. And the place they bought is $2.3 million. And I know they had the most of it, the $2 million of it at least, that God got them. That was the fella that the Elam put out because of what he preached. They put him out. They tell him not to do any preaching or of any meetings anywhere in the near vicinity. They forbid him. The Elam forbid him. But I sent him a prophecy that a man gave many years ago that God would move in Guildford and people would get saved. And I know nobody believed it. Said it would be impossible. Sure, Guildford's a dump. There's a preacher went to Guildford years ago to preach and they were sleeping and he left them till it and he went on home again. And that's true. People said nobody would get saved in Guildford. Well, there's 400 going to a tent round there in Guildford. 400 people. Now, I'll tell you one thing. They mightn't agree with all our doctrine. We mightn't agree with all theirs. But I'm going to tell you one thing in this house this morning. The devil never brought them. The devil never brought them till it. I'll tell you that. So thank God for what God's doing. We need to believe God. Amen. Praise God. We need to believe God. That God can do it. And that wee hall round there in Guildford that we had thought about getting that we didn't get. Somebody else has now bought it. Another church. And I think Ken's church will be moving out of there, but not for a while, because they're going to renovate where they're going first. But isn't the Lord wonderful? Praise God. A fella said to me, I told a fella about this the other day, he says, I'm sure you felt discouraged, Brother Tom. And I went off the phone and thought to myself, why would I feel discouraged that God has blessed somebody, that God's moving? Why would I feel discouraged? I'm not one bit discouraged. I'm encouraged. I pray for him. Yes. God will do it. Whatever God has for us, I want God's will. Whatever the Lord has for us, may the Lord grant it. And I appreciate Ken Davison as a good gospel preacher and the wee children's home as well. And they're doing well. Two wee children near dead and the wee girl as well near dead, but the Lord's touched them. Isn't God good? Or Roberts preached a powerful message many years ago, God is a good God. And I'll tell you, it was some message he preached, and it's still real. Because it's from the Word of God. The Lord bless you. Andrew sends you his greetings. Tell everybody who just messaged me this morning, wants to thank everyone for the prayers. And the Lord's so wonderful. And the Lord bless everyone that's back from holidays. God bless you. And maybe there's still some to go. Come, it's that time of year. Great weather, but we're probably needing a bit of rain. It's giving rain this week. So there might be a bit of rain this week, but we've had a good spell, haven't we? It's great. And you know, I like the heat. I'd actually to put a coat on the other day. I was feeling cold. I like the sunshine. Praise God. When I went to Africa, people said, boy, you'll be killed with the heat. I was rejoicing in it. It wasn't killed with it at all. It was great. It was hot, but it was great. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to our Bibles this morning to Jeremiah 31. God will remember your sins no more is my title this morning. I could have preached on 1,000 different things. I spent time waiting on the Lord, praying, going over scriptures, notes to what I would preach, but I believe God led me. Bring this There's lots of other things maybe I'd like to bring, but I felt led to bring this, so I want to share it with you this morning. Jeremiah 31, let's read. Maybe we could stand while we read the Word of God, just for reverence to the Word of God. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. This is where I'm reading this portion from this morning. This is my text. Just maybe seated. Praise God. I want to turn to Hebrews 8, 7 to 12, and I'm going to use a lot of scriptures this morning, and I'm going to make no apologies for that. I thought, I'll not go through them all. Then I decided, no, I'll not do that. I'll go slow, and I'll go through every one of them. Most of them, anyhow, not every one of them. There's too many. But Hebrews 8, verse 7 to 12. For if that first covenant had been faultless, this is the covenant that they had through Moses, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not, and my covenant regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I believe these are some of the greatest scriptures in all of the Bible that sets people free. And I believe that's one of the greatest tools of the devil, is to get people to go back in their memory and in their mind to the things they've done wrong, to the times they failed God or sinned. And the enemy wants to condemn people with that thought, that memory. And we do remember things, and other people throw things up. I remember you years ago, boy. You weren't always a preacher. I remember you years ago, you done this and you done that. And people are quick to tell you what you done for the devil when you served him. But the Bible says, Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. God can do something that maybe we can't do. There is the forgetfulness of God. There is that ability in God where God forgets and forgives our sins. Not only forgets and forgives, but they're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Never to be remembered against us no more. So that means on the day of judgment, you cannot be judged for your past sin, because once it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, it's washed away, it's remitted, it is gone. It can never be brought back up to be held against you in any law or court, because your high priest has stood in for you and he's paid the ultimate price for you. Now we're going to look at this a bit more this morning, but I believe it's wonderful. Thy sins, thy iniquities will I remember no more. My Bible's absolutely clear. The Bible says a righteous man will fall down seven times, but the Lord will lift him. Every single one of us will make mistakes. Every single one of us will fail somewhere in life. But the prophet of God at the end time said, the blood of Jesus lays there for you. And you can come and be cleansed at any time. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. A new covenant at Calvary, far greater than the old covenant. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, and that word testament means covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross for the remission of sins, and he brought in a new covenant. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now you know there was mercy ever before there was them Ten Commandments. There was mercy ever before there was law. But you see, man wanted a law. God gave him a law. Now we know the law's a schoolmaster. We'll talk about that a little later. But there's mercy today through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This word remission means dismissal, passing over, or release of a debt. Blotting out. And I won't go a lot into the blotting out this morning. I'm going to preach on that tonight. Removing, obliterating, washing away. If you wash suffering away, you don't see it. It is gone. Now the devil might try to remind you of it, but here's one thing I want you to get here this morning, brothers and sisters. God doesn't change his mind about his word. God's word can't be changed. That's a quote from a prophet, but it is scriptural. We believe it. So if God tells you he's going to do something, and somebody else stacks up a list of stuff against that, what God said he's going to do, that list's worth nothing. It's not worth the paper it's wrote on. You can't go against the word of God. They say Martin Luther, when he got saved and he was in his office, the devil appeared to him. And the devil appeared to him with a long list of his sins that he had committed. And Martin Luther said to him, is that the complete list? And he says, no, there's more. And he brought another list. Luther lifted a quill. I think it was a duck's quill or whatever they used to write with then. You know, they wouldn't have pens like we have today. But he lifted it, dipped it in his ink, and he wrote through it, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses Martin Luther from all sin. The devil fled. Why? Because of Revelations. He overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. His testimony was the blood cleanses from all sin. What's your testimony? Are you saved because of works? If you are, you're not saved. There's no works that you can do to save yourself. Salvation is a free gift from God. We do absolutely nothing to attain it. We're saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, for by grace are you saved, through faith. The Lord gives you that faith. Thank God for it. Romans 3, verse 25. Whom God have set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That we word propitiation means appeasing. The sacrifice of Christ appeased God. It pleased God. Now, I want you to keep that thought for one moment, and then I want to tell you that no prophet, no priest through the Old Testament, no other sacrifice could fully appease God. It was always in part. But the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was not part, because he said it's finished. It was complete work, and God was appeased. And because God was appeased, we can come. We can come freely. He shed this forth for the remission of the sins of many, in order that sins may be remitted, forgiven. That's what it means. That is this appointed way by which God will pardon transgressions, that the blood is efficacious. Hear these. This is a big word. Efficacious. You should write that down. And you could do a whole study on that one word. Efficacious. You know what efficacious means? Effective. That's why when you have a message with no blood in it, it's not effective. No power in it. We've moved on. I know. I hear that a lot. We've moved on. Well, I'm happy enough where I'm going and what I'm doing. Thank you very much. The pardon of sin. It's effective. The blood's effective. It's effective. Now, here's the first thing we're going to look at. It's effective because of the life it comes from. The blood of Jesus Christ is effective because of the life it came from. It didn't come from a bullock or a turtle dove or a pigeon or a natural lamb. This blood is from the Lamb of God. You know, you should have the message. If you don't have it, you should download it. The message. All the sermons you can download on your phone or your mobile, your app. Download it. You put in there, and all them over 1,000 sermons of William Branham, put you in there, and you could do it with Spurgeon as well. Put it in Spurgeon as well. And I'll tell you what, when you look up about the blood, there's a lot in there, isn't there? And you'll read about the blood of God so many times. The blood of God, the blood of God. God's created blood. Superior to any animal or any beast. No animal or any beast had a life to come back on the believer. So when their blood was shed, their life is in the blood. Leviticus 17. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So when the animal was sacrificed and his blood was shed, but that is an insult to God to say that the Lord Jesus' blood went into the ground like an animal's blood. That's an insult. Now I don't know if you agree with me in here or not. But I'll not change that. I believe that. Not only do I believe that, I believe God showed me that his blood reached the whole way to heaven. And I've got scripture for it, and I've got quotes from a prophet for it as well. And so many men of God. So someone that somebody's invented somewhere to me come from the pit of hell itself. The devil doesn't want no blood. He wants a dry religion. Cain had that. Cain had a dry, bloodless religion. God said no. God said, Cain, you've done well. What you presented is lovely. You have offered well, but Abel, more excellent. More excellent. For it required blood. Abel, you see, had a revelation. A revelation. You need a revelation to be saved. Did you know that? No man cometh on to me except my Father draweth him. God gives you the revelation. No man knoweth him, save to him who the Son will reveal him. That's a revelation of God. You see, this the life of Jesus, the blood being used by the sacred writers as presenting life itself. Genesis 9, verse 4. I won't go through all these scriptures. I have four scriptures later. I'm going to go through Leviticus 17, verse 14. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It was forbidden, therefore, to eat blood. God forbid it. Because it contained life, or was the life of the animal. When therefore Jesus said that his blood was shed for many, it is the same as saying that his life was given for many. When we say his blood, the life's in the blood. His life was given for many. Jesus Christ gave his life for many. People talk about, oh, whoever's going to come will come. My Bible says it's not God's will any should perish. That's my Bible. If we claim we're the bride of Jesus Christ and we have no desire for the lost, I would say that's not the bride. That's my opinion. And I believe it's right. Because if we're the bride of Jesus Christ, and we're part of him and he's part of us, if he loves a sinner, we should love the sinner. God hates sin, but he loves a sinner. God don't condemn the sinner. God condemns the sin. I'll tell you what, every one of us were sinners. The life's in this blood. Let me read you these few things here about the Messianic covenant, law and grace. Now, Brother Alan will probably have this in his Bible. Romans 5, chapter 5, and you see your notes, brother, in that Bible I give you. You'll read some of these things because it's in there. I have different Bibles, and there's different things in them, and they're great. At Victor's Bible out yesterday, over 100 years of age. It's from the original 1611 Bible. She's some Bible. And she's that thick. And there's so many references. He says man's opinion. No, the references to other scriptures. And it's great to have them. But I had her out and I was thinking of Victor and praying for him. And there was the Bible. And the old cover that he had on her, still on her. Great, isn't it? After the death and resurrection of Jesus, the major spiritual conflict portrayed in the New Testament is in the choice between the law and grace as a basic avenue of approach to God. It's easy to conclude from this theological battle that the Messianic covenant and the work of Christ were at odds with one another. However, the point to remember is that God's covenant with Moses spelled out how to fellowship with him as a member of the people already enjoying the blessings of God's covenant with Abraham. Genesis 12, Galatians 3:17. You can read it. And I won't go into the scriptures because I have other scriptures coming. This is just a few things I want to tell you before I start to preach. The purpose of the law. God's covenant with Moses was not meant to compete with the grace of God shown through Christ. It was meant to prepare the people of the Messianic covenant for the grace of God revealed in Christ. The Messianic covenant could be compared to a tutor readying a young pupil for advanced spiritual realities. The law was like a bodyguard fending off the world, the flesh, and the devil while the judicial process went on. But when the people of God in the heirs of grace reached full age, the primary job of the tutor bodyguard was done. Christ lived and died to bring the people of God to their adult liberty. You could read Romans 4, verse 4 to 7, and you'll read that. The Messianic covenant foreshadowed and prophesied the atoning death of Christ and the free access to God his forgiveness provides for those who receive it by faith. Hebrews 9, 10, the prescribed offerings for sin reminded the worshippers under the Messianic law that the sin requires a blood sacrifice, Hebrews 9, 22. What's that? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I want somebody to tell me what people do with that scripture. That scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God required, look, this is not a doctrine of the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the Elam or the Baptist. This is God's doctrine. This, God started this in Genesis. He's the first one. He's the one that come down. And when Adam and Eve had failed and fell, he killed an animal and sacrificed and shed blood. And he put coats on them and he clothed them. For the first time they knew they were naked because of sin. Can you imagine them, both of them walking about stripped, clean, naked? I say imagine it. Maybe I shouldn't say it like that. But you understand what I'm meaning here. They were naked, but they had no sin. There was no offense. There was nothing wrong with it. Because they didn't know any different before God. But after they fell, after the serpent got to Eve, before Adam did, and sowed a seed vicariously via the serpent, the devil did, and produced a hybrid race. That's where giants come from. They don't come from fallen angels. Like some people, they're preaching. They came from that serpent seed. And God came and put a stop to it. And God says, I'll put enmity between the seed. But this can't happen again. And it can never happen after it. But your giants in the land, men of renown. Then William Branham's the only man you'll hear preaching it. Or maybe some of the older boys do preach it, but none of them today preach it.
The sons of God looked on the daughters of men, saw them were fair. And they took them wives. Then you read on, God didn't forgive it. And the Spirit of God was grieved. Because the sons of God were those that came from Adam. And the daughters of men were those that came from that other line. And it was mixed right up till they went over in that ark. Now I know you can't go out today and say he's this and he's that. It's predestination, isn't it? God foreordained predestined who would come. That these things are the truth. They're a little maybe deeper. You might hear it everywhere, but it's the truth. They never ate an apple. It was an act that took place in the garden, not an apple. But you see the purpose of grace when the Son of God entered human flesh through the virgin birth and died in the place of all people. He opened the way into heaven, not just to an earthly tabernacle, or a temple. Hebrews 9:24, his sacrifice of himself need never be repeated. All sin has been atoned for. And atonement operates for all who receive it by faith. Hebrews 10, Romans 10 as well. But you know them scriptures, if you believe in your heart and confess your mouth, you'll be saved. Because of what the Lord done. And I could read you so many more things here, and they're true. But it's the life that blood come from that gives it the power. It's like they used to sing a song, "The Life Behind the Name." There is a life behind the name. The name of Jesus Christ, there's a life and a power behind that name like no other. Here's another thing about him. His life was given for sinners. His life was given for sinners. You know, you'd think to hear a lot of Christians get holy. Now I mean that. I want to get this right now. They get this stage for their self-righteous. That's the right word for it. Self-righteous. And they get this stage for they think they're better than other people. And they look at people that's maybe drinking or in drugs or homosexuals. They don't care what they are. And they think to themselves, boys, I've never done that. I'm such a great lad. Give yourself a good pat in the back there. Every single one of us was wretched, miserable, hell deserving sinners. And our hearts were as black as pitch. And you think anything different, you're wrong. All our righteousness was filthy rags before God. But the Lord Jesus claimed us and cleansed us. And I don't care who it is, God can save them. And he came to save sinners. He came to save them. Thank God he can save them. God can save anybody. Anybody. Look how many men in this country that served time in jail. One of the greatest testimonies I've ever heard. From partly a policeman and an IRA man. I had the tape of it. I don't know where it went. I gave it to somebody. I never seen it again. But it was so powerful. I don't remember all the names and everything, but there was a policeman that served out in the part of the country away out where there was nobody near him. They put him out there to keep an eye on people's properties because Protestant people in some parts of the country out around the border, especially, were persecuted and killed. We know that. That's part of the history here. The true history. But that policeman used to go out on his duty round the different places. And that policeman was bombed. And the bomber that bombed him was caught in the bomb and lost his hand. And he was captured. And I don't know if there's maybe some of his mates were killed. But he got jailed. And you know, they put him and the policeman in the same place in the hospital. And that big policeman saw him and he said, "Get him out of here." He hated him, you can imagine. Get him out of here. Bomber's in one bed, he was in another. So they parted them and they parted their ways. And eventually that policeman recovered through time. And they gave him something a bit closer to home, as it were. And they put him in this place. And when they put him in this other place, the head sergeant in it, everybody got him aside and they said, "See that head sergeant? You need to watch yourself with him. He's one of them born again boys. One of them Bible thumpers. That born-again sergeant began to witness to him. And he got saved. Wonderfully saved. He got saved and he was going on with the Lord, and he was in a Baptist church on a Sunday morning service, and the pastor at the end of the service said, "Nobody missed tonight's meeting." I wonder if I could tell you all that this morning. Nobody missed tonight's meeting. 6 o'clock, by the way. He told them all, "Nobody missed tonight's meeting. There's a very special guest coming to share a testimony." And there was a big policeman sitting near the front. And there was a fellow that was sharing his testimony, sitting in the chair with the pastor, and they were singing and all the rest of it. And he kept watching them. And he noticed when he turned the Bible, he had a claw hand. He had no hand, he had a steel claw. And he said to himself, "Goodness, who's this?" That man got up to share his testimony, and he was the provisional IRA man that bombed him. And he told his testimony, and while he was in jail, you could be trained in jail and all. So many people get educated in jail, become solicitors and all sorts. Sure, half our politicians today were in jail. Trained themselves in the Crumlin Road jail or one of them other jails. That's how they done it. They had plenty of time, and the government paid them and educated them. That's how it happened. Well, this fellow was the same. So if some people in there were sharing things from the Bible, so him being a member of the provisional IRA, and as smart as he was, decided he would go on the Bible course to disprove them that the Bible was wrong. And he done that, and he got saved. And he's mightily used to God. And he got up and he told who he was, and he told about the bomb. And there was a policeman in front of him that he bombed. And the two of them at the end of the service threw their arms around each other and hugged each other. That's what you call real reconciliation. Not the government's version or Sinn Féin's version. That's real scriptural reconciliation right there, because they come through the blood. And that's some testimony. That's what our God's able to do. That's who our God's able to see him. But we've a lot of people here in Northern Ireland that are self-righteous. Would God ever forgive a man that killed somebody? Well, Moses killed a man and he buried him in sand. And God delivered the whole of Israel with him. Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. Even if he didn't personally murder, he was guilty of it. One of the greatest apostles in the Bible. His life was given for sinners. Or he died in the place of sinners as their substitute. Or if you don't like that word, use another word. But he was in their place. He was in your place, in my place, in your room, in my room, in your stead, in my stead. He stood in for all. Substitute could mean you're changing one person, like on a football pitch or rugby pitch. But he did it for everybody. Everybody. And he took our place. Isn't that wonderful? So that God doesn't judge us, he judged him for us. And if we're in him, he was judged for us. So that we're under Romans 8. There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. By his death on the cross, the death of punishment due to them, and hell may be removed from the souls of the saved. We were due hell, every one of us, but he saved us. He endured so much suffering, bore so much agony, that God was pleased, accepted in place of all the redeemed. The interests of justice and the honor and the stability were inflicted on him, on them. Every one of us personally should have went to hell, but he took our place. Now he plundered hell that he might populate heaven. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave of the devil, and he hung them on his own side. And he rose on the third day triumphant over death, over hell, over the grave, up to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he gave gifts to men. Aren't you glad for that this morning? given us a son to die for sinners, has shown his infinite abhorrence to sin. God hates sin. God's against sin. According to his view, and therefore according to truth, nothing else should show its evil nature but the awful suffering of its own son, that he died in the stead or the place of every sinner. Sinners abundantly clear can now fellowship with God because of the blood. Now come with me for a moment. I'm going to take a few scriptures before I close this morning. And I've missed a lot of stuff, but John 1 verse 29. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is one of the best scriptures to preach the gospel from. The next day John saith Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here's your title. God's appointed taker away of sin. There he is. No head of any church system or no prophet or preacher is God's appointed taker away of sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ alone is God's taker away of sin. The Pope of Rome, certainly not the taker away of sin. King Billy is not the taker away of sin either for the orange man. But only the Lord Jesus Christ is the taker away of sin. Only he can do it. You know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of religious orange men. We're in an orange hall beside us here this morning. A lot of them's religious, but they're not saved. Now, some of them might be saved, but a lot of them is religious. They go through all the rituals and customs and they're not saved. Do you realize they're no better than the Catholic round the corner that's not saved in God's eyes? You can't go to God wearing a sash and saying, I wear a sash to walk the 12th of July. I am a devout Protestant and I go to church. That'll never take you to heaven. Neither the Catholic that worships the Virgin Mary or sprinkles themselves or crosses themselves. They can wear a cross. They can hang a cross in the house and in the car. Hang it everywhere. They're still on the way to heaven. They're not saved. Lost without Christ. Because God is only one appointed taker away of sin. When William Branham was a young man and he shot himself in the legs with a buckshot. Now I have shotguns and I'm telling you they're dangerous. And anybody that works with shotgun, you know a shotgun's lethal, especially at short range. And he said he was going to lose his legs. He didn't want to lose his legs. And he said he used to walk or throw his legs in a funny way because of the injuries he sustained from that shooting. And he thought he was dying and he was going down. And he started to tell God, I've never committed adultery. And he hadn't. He had a vow. And he can't tell it. But it never saved him. He still had to be saved. And he said in the coal shed, with a cross in front of him and light as a cross, he met the Lord Jesus and got saved. None of our religious programs or works will save us. Every man and woman has to have their own experience. And God is only one appointed taker away of sin. John declares him. John shows him. John says, here he is, the Lamb of God. God's taker away of sin, here he is. Ephesians 5 and 2. And walk in love as Christ also have loved us. Some Christians need to learn this verse. Walk in love. I know some Christians and they can't shake other Christians' hands because they don't believe the same. That is hypocrisy in his heart. Even if a brother or a sister that professes to be saved and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't see things we see, if they're saved, they're still our brothers and sisters. We should still be fit to shake their hand and genuinely say, God bless you, but not one of these jobs. And say it in your heart, they're useless of nothing. It's hypocrisy.
That's like Peter when the sheet came down. There was all sorts of stuff on that sheet. Peter couldn't eat them. He was too good. He was following the laws. There's no way he was eating unclean stuff. God said to him, don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. You can eat it. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Look what it says. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ is the offering given to God, accepted by God for us. These are my own words. But they're true. I believe they're true. Hebrews 7, verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's sins. For this he did once when he offered up himself. He, Christ Jesus, offered up himself for sins. You see, man wants a program. Let me tell you this morning, do you realize the program's going about? Now listen, listen. We know that God sent a message in the 20th century. God sent a voice to bring us out of denominational chaos back to the Word. Spirit of Elijah to turn our hearts. But now we have today people that claim they're following the end time message and they're doing courses on handing out message certificates. Did you? That's rubbish. Let me tell you that here this morning, pure rubbish. Message certificates. And they're going to countries and doing programs. And they're learning them what they say is the message. And they're handing them out certificates. Spirit of Elijah, in my opinion, going by God's word, what I know, is to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic message that the first church had. And our job's not to get somebody to get a certificate, but it's to get them to Jesus Christ and sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. That's our job. And baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. Certificates. The same movement that blasted every other denomination under the sun, that wiped them off the face of the planet because of education, blasted them. Now they're handing out certificates. I'll tell you something, don't tell me God's in that. God's not in that rubbish. Now if you want a certificate, God bless you. I know in jobs and stuff you need certificates. But I'll tell you one thing. Paul, when he got converted, never went for a certificate. We read on Thursday night, he had hands laid on him. And he got the Holy Ghost. That was his certificate. His seal. But you see how that they took someone that was genuine. Now that doesn't make the original messenger and the message wrong. But their version of it's definitely wrong. That's to turn everybody away from it. Because there's truth there. But you know, I'll say it to you like this. If you get a couple of false 20s, you'll not burn all your 20s, will you? You'll hold on to them. I know some people try and bluff off a few here and there. That's how it works. But I'll tell you, when it goes under the light, it's exposed. The light exposes it. And I'll tell you another thing this morning. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters. You go out on the foreign mission field and you come in contact with a couple of demons, real witches and real demons. You will not cast them out with a certificate or some quote that you've made up. You will need to be sent by God and filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll need to know you're meant to be going. Everybody wants to go, but it's God sent you. God does not send everyone. But God does send people. As the Father sent me, so send I you. But if you feel sent, you go. And you know God will be with you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And I near got waylaid in this for a long time. I'm going to have to quit after read this. There's so much in this one scripture, believe it or not. It's a wonderful scripture. And he is a propitiation for our sins,
Brother Yule quotes this word often, and people wonder, what's he talking about, propitiation? This is where Yule gets it from, the Bible. It's 1 John 2, verse 2, or Yule used to call it Small John. But it's the Bible, isn't it? For our sins, not for our sins only. Oh, I love this verse. The devil hates this verse here. This is not for the weak group with a halo over the head that think we're in and everybody's out. This is not how it reads. Here's how it reads. But also for the sins of the whole world. A propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Can God save them all? Every one of them, and they'll come. Not as well that any should perish. The idea of we'll just collect the chosen few. Well, I'll tell you what. God bless you, but I'll just throw the net out to all of us, all right. And I'll let God do that other part. Because I wouldn't be smart enough to separate them. I'll let the Lord do that. Yes. I'll throw the net out. Amen. And I'll try and catch whatever I can in it. And hopefully in there will be some real fish. Yes. But you will get some other stuff in the net. But don't condemn the servant who threw it out. Because there's a couple of crabs in it. He's done his best throwing it out. Are you throwing your net out? Or is your net sitting never used? As people throwing the net out, don't condemn them. They're doing their best. They're throwing the net out. They will get all sorts in that net. But there will be some fish as well turn up. Some real fish. Some real salmon. Quality salmon. My son sends me pictures of fishing in New Zealand. My, the fish he catches, some of them, he caught one 1 week taller than himself. Another one another week, 90 pound in weight. He probably doesn't even weigh that. Lovely, beautiful fish. I want you to know God's still got fish to be caught. No matter what anybody thinks or tells you. We're still here. We haven't went in the rapture yet. We're still here. We're waiting for the rapture to take place. And there's fish to be caught. Propitiation. Christ offering of himself appeased God. Or satisfies God. That's what that word means. That Christ's offering of himself appeases God. It satisfies God. God's holy wrath against sin. Christ satisfied it. It shows how the Lord Jesus took the punishment people deserve, so God can forgive them with justice and with love. God so loved the world. The next verse, John 3:17, for God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, we need to preach the love of God, don't we? We need to preach the love of God. God is a God of love. He loves a sinner. You know, we revile ourselves by sin. There's some things will return us. You think of that wee woman that was captured with that murderer. And he'd killed every victim. Done all sorts to them. I won't even say, you know, all sorts to them women. Killed them. But a boldness come on her and she shared Christ with him. Shared the gospel with him. And they were trying to get him. And they couldn't understand it. But she got away. He let her go. And after they let her go and they got her and everything, she didn't even realize her own self, the danger she was in. Because the presence of the Lord was with her. She was only a wee housewife. She wasn't a preacher or some great person. But Christ was with her. Brother and sister, the Lord's with you. If you're saved, he's with you. She shared him. They got that man. And the police told her, I'll tell you what, you're one lucky woman. She said, well, it's God's grace. And they said, you don't have to go to see him, but he's getting executed. But he wants to see you. You don't have to go. And she says, no, go and see him. And she went and seen him. And he says, I've got saved. Imagine a man in heaven that's done all them atrocities and he's saved. And imagine the religious Catholics here in Ireland and the religious Protestants in hell. There's a man, all what he did, and he's in heaven because he accepted God's provision. God's provision. Just like Moses, God told him, apply the blood, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over. God requires the blood mark. Without that blood mark, there's no salvation. Let's stand our feet. Praise God. Let's close our eyes this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, maybe I've been shouted too much. Forgive me if I'm too loud. But I just want to stress the point. Maybe somebody will hear this message. My prayer is you'll get saved. If you're not saved, come to the Lord. If there's any young people in this room, and maybe you're coming but you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get Christ. Oh, I tell you, I was saved as a young man and fell away. Went out into the world of sin. When I look back, probably it wasn't long. But it seemed long to me, too long. But I thank God when he called me. If you have a need this morning again, just lift your hand and we're going to pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace. Oh Lord Jesus, save our homes, our children, sons and our daughters, all that we love. We pray you'll save. Lord, give them a real experience of salvation. It's not important what car they drive or how good of a house they have. The important thing is they're saved. Oh God, save them, we pray. Move on them. Speak to them. For us as believers, help us to love our brother and love our sister. Help us to show the gift of love. For Lord, what good's everything else if we haven't loved one for another? Give us unity. Rid us of schism. Let your blessing come upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless the hands raised. For those listening in, Lord, that they know if they call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Father, I commit it all to you and just ask you to bless the remainder of the service. Lord, for tonight, Lord, there's no special guest I can announce in the natural. It's coming only you, Lord Jesus. You are special. But I'm asking you to bless the service tonight and help this preacher to preach the truth. And add to your work such as should be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as your brother comes.
Try and sing that little chorus. He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from his memory. You know, just it's really outstanding to think I was having a laugh about that certificate. You know, that's really outlandish, isn't it? And you know, I just thought of one of my personal favourite quotes of Brother Branham is one that is, I like it so much because I believe it applies to me and I like to use it myself, you know, and it's a good, I think it's a very good witness, especially when you do speak to maybe denominational people. When Ian and me used to go out witnessing sometimes, you know, people would like to put a label on you and say, oh, are you a Baptist or are you a Presbyterian or whatever you are? And I always love to tell them, no, I'm a Christian. I used to love the story Brother Branham told about the Methodist woman that he went to visit. He was visiting his mother in hospital. He went next door to visit this little woman. He went to share just the gospel with her. And she said, close the curtain. And she says, I'm a Methodist. And he says, I'm sorry, I thought you might have been a Christian. You know, and it just becomes a blasphemous name. That's what the angel said. Those things are blasphemous names, and you identify with those things. But one of the favourite quotes of mine was Brother Branham had said, I believe it was in the Hebrew series, maybe chapter 6, where he had said that here in this little tabernacle, he was talking about the Branham tabernacle, and it may not be true for today, but it must have been true for whenever he said it, but I think it's a good outlook. He says, here we have no membership, but fellowship. No law, but love. No creed, but Christ. No book, but the Bible. And I really love that. I really think that's tremendous. No membership, but fellowship. Well, they couldn't say that. Now, if they're handing out certificates, they'll initiate you. There's something definitely wrong. No law, but love. No creed, but Christ. No book, but the Bible. And they certainly couldn't use that one, could they? No book, but the Bible, because they use other books more than they do the Bible. But I think that's real good. And I think it's a good code to live by. As believers, praise God. Let me try and sing this little verse. God bless Brother Tom for bringing the word this morning. He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from his memory. By the blood of the Lamb of Calvary, he has forgiven me.
Is the life that's given to me.
rest of our heads in. Praise God, we come to the hope of God. Maybe just give 5 minutes just for early enough. Just maybe, if anybody would like to pray before we would close, just give opportunity maybe for someone to pray. And just while we, before we pray, let us sing that little chorus.